South Dakota Public Broadcasting, sdpb.org.
House local government committee to order, and I have a
certificate. Senator Gillespie, Klocek.
Here.
Miles.
Here.
Schmidt. Teason.
Here.
Bradford.
Here.
Mr. Chair, there is a quorum.
All righty.
I will do the minutes first.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye, and those opposed, nay.
Aye.
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 Minutes are approved. Maybe I'll introduce the pages first. Could you introduce yourself?
I'm Alyssa Van Meteren from Yankton, and Gene Hunup is my sponsor.
Thank you.
I'm Kay McConda from Sisseton, and Gary Hansen is my
sponsor. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to the first order of business, and I've been asked to move 1211 to the bottom of the calendar, and I see we have a person here for 12. Next is 12, what?
Wait, no.
Sorry.
1036.
Is there any? Okay, we'll take 10. Is there any proponents for 1036? Excuse me.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Eric Erickson, representing the South Dakota County Officials Association. Come before you this morning with House Bill 1036. The language in this is identical to Senate Bill 159, which this committee passed last week unanimously. We had started this bill in both houses. Senate Bill 159 is now over in the House, and they're going to use that for a different subject. So we'd appreciate your support on this. And as a quick overview, what this does is House Bill 1035 passed earlier this session at the request of the Secretary of State, dealing with the redaction of Social Security numbers and EIN numbers off of UCC documents. In the Secretary of State's office, it works out great because you call them up. You request a document, and if you didn't already have that information, they'd send it out to you with that information redacted. In our offices, it's a little bit different, as it's open as a public depository of records. It's more like a library. So in order for us to comply with House Bill 1035, we would have had to go back, redact all of this information off of all of our prior records, including microfilm and other methods, at a very costly response. So we ask that you please support House Bill 1035. We ask that you please support it, and I'll stand by for any questions.
1036.
Okay. I'll get it straight here sometime.
Oh, that's all right. You and I are both suffering. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other proponents for 1036? Are there any opponents to 1036? Can we not drag this on? No. I'll open it to questions from the panel. If no questions, about some action. Senator Coates.
Move, do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Yes, move, do pass, and seconded. Senator Teason.
You're left in the air.
All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And I'll ask the Secretary to call a roll.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek.
Aye.
Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt.
You voted yes last
night.
Yes. Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant. Mr. Chair, there were 5 yeas.
Mr. Chair.
Hey, the House Bill 1036 go to the floor. Do pass. Move consent, seconded by Senator Teason. All those in favor of putting the bill on consent, say aye.
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 Aye. It's now on consent, folks. All righty, we'll move on to, is it, next was 1253. Are there any proponents for 1253?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Hey.
Members of the committee, Deb Bowman, Secretary of the Department of Social Services, and we bring before you today House Bill 1253. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding administration of the Catastrophic County Poor Relief Fund. Counties are responsible by our state statute to pay the health care expenses for indigent people with no other means of paying for their health care. The Catastrophic County Poor Relief Fund pays participating counties for health care claims of indigent people over $20,000. Participation by our counties is strictly voluntary, and currently we have 60 counties participating. The fund was originally started with $500,000 in general funds, but has been replenished every year through an assessment of participating counties since 1985. So now the general fund's money is long gone, and this is really county money. The fund has been administered jointly by the Department of Social Services and the Catastrophic County Poor Relief Board, which consists of five county commissioners appointed by the Association of County Commissioners. House Bill 1253 transfers the administration of the Catastrophic County Poor Relief Fund from my department to the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners, who are in full support of this effort. My deputy just went to get Bob Wilcox, who will be here to support this bill as well. This results in a reduction of one FTE from our department budget, and the fund balance will be transferred to the Association of County Commissioners. So all the money will be theirs to be able to administer the program. The Department of Social Services, since this decision was made, has worked closely with the Association of County Commissioners. They have agreed that they can administer this program. There's usually about 30 claims a year, so it's not a huge amount. The Department of Social Services has committed to continuing to reprice the claims at a Medicaid level so that the counties are taking advantage of that. We'll continue to assist the counties with whatever they need. We will work closely with them during this transition. We have all the forms and documents necessary. They will all be transferred to the County Commission Association. And so we would urge your support of 1253, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for 1253?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. Thank you for waiting for me. I was over in another state affairs. As Secretary Bowman has indicated, this has been a process that we started approximately right after, shortly after Thanksgiving, and it's evolved into what I would like to describe as somewhat as a partnership. We are certainly willing to take this program over. One of the questions that was asked of me earlier, do we have spending authority? And if you refer to Section 1, Line 8 of the bill, it actually, what it allows us to do is use funds from the pool to help defray the administration costs of the programs. And finally, we've worked hand-in-hand with our local welfare directors, which many of them are county auditors, keeping them abreast of the upcoming change. And we would certainly appreciate your support on this piece of legislation. Thank you very much, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for 1253? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Could you check the hallway? Thank you. I'll open it to questions of the committee. Is there any questions?
I do.
Senator Smith.
Mr. Wilcox, can I ask you a question, please? If you could answer this, I would, Mr. Chairman, if you could answer this, I'd appreciate it. But if you don't have to, if you don't want to, it says catastrophic. Just let me share this in humor. I received a bill from my insurance company and it was catastrophic. So I called my agent, and he said, well, the reason it's so high is because some of this goes to paying for those who can't pay. Is that true?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would rather not answer that question because I'm not quite sure I would have the correct knowledge. But on a side note, if I may, Mr. Chairman, certainly I share some of the pain, as you well do, because I've certainly seen some of those catastrophic bills as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Is there anybody else who would want to answer this? I see none. Are there any questions? Other questions? If not, I'll open it to comments and or action. Senator Teasley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this sounds to me like efficiency and reduction of bureaucracy, and I support both, so I'll move to pass.
Second by Senator Miles. Okay, have the comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to give the Secretary of Social Service kudos in getting people on board. It does sound like a win-win situation for everybody based on an efficient process, like Senator Thiessen said. It seems like a smooth transition for people, so they're not adversely affected with sharing documents, resources, that type of thing. So I think that's a good move, and where the counties are right on board. So I appreciate that collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? If not, we will take action. Secretary will call the roll. Aye is for, and nay is against.
Senator Gillespie?
Yes.
Klocek?
Aye.
Miles? Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
And Gillespie.
Sorry, I heard guh. Gillespie votes aye.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, there were 6 yeas.
Send that bill to the floor with the due pass. Okay, it's been moved consent and second. Is there a... I'll take the vote aye, oral. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carried. Go to the floor. Consent. Okay. We'll move on now to, I believe, 1263. Is that? Okay. And then we better tell 1263. Is there any proponents here? Please. This is a straight bill. This bill hasn't been... Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Well, Chair.
Representative?
Members of the committee, I'm Brian Gosch, Representative District 32. Well, this is a pleasure for me to introduce this bill because the parties involved here worked hard over the summer and came to a compromise agreement that, of course, everybody agrees with. It was an agreement between the co-ops, the municipal electrical organizations, and the member-owned. The bill is fairly simple and straightforward and speaks for itself. And with that introduction, I'll turn it over to other proponents. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Ed Anderson. I'm a registered lobbyist with the South Dakota Rural Electric Association. In the early 1970s, the South Dakota legislature created defined service territories for all the utilities operating in the state, including the municipal electrics, the electric cooperatives, and the investor-owned utilities. And then in the mid-70s, they came back and created an exception to those service territories for municipal electric systems in annexations. And what they allowed municipals to do is, in a municipal annexation, they could, if they chose to, allow the incumbent utility to continue to serve the area that they annexed, or they could displace the incumbent utility and provide municipal electric service to the people in the annexed area. That compromise, or exception, also created the current day formula that is in place. Anytime that a municipal electric system chooses to displace the incumbent utility, they are required to compensate that utility under a three-part formula. First, they're required to pay for all the wires and the poles and other fixed assets that are removed. Second, they are required to pay for any reintegration costs involved. If you take a chunk out of any utility, you got to fix it, and they're required to pay for those costs. And finally, there is a compensation formula for lost service rights. Under current law, they are required to pay 25% of the gross revenues for 7 years for every existing and new customer in the annexed area within a 7-year window. So in other words, any customer that was in the annexed area on the date that they take over or the date that they annex, they will pay for 7 years. If somebody moves in year five, they're only going to pay for 2 years because it's a maximum of 7 years for any given customer. Last year, the rural electric cooperatives brought in a bill that would have adjusted the compensation formula because of concerns that we had, some of our members had, with bare ground annexations. That bill passed the Senate, and I know some of you here remember that, made it over to the House and was ultimately tabled in the House Local Government Committee, not before that committee took the opportunity to let us know that they did not want to see that issue brought back before them again or before the legislature unless it was a joint agreement. So they sent us away with some pretty stern instructions to figure this out on our own, and which we got to work immediately with all of the utilities involved. We had a series of meetings that lasted throughout the summer into the fall, and the result of those meetings is the negotiated agreement that is before you today in House Bill 1263. 1263 addresses one part of that three-part formula, and it is the lost service rights portion of the formula. Under the proposal in 1263, the municipal electric systems that choose to displace and are required to compensate would continue to pay 25% of the gross revenues for 7 years, but instead of a 7-year window, it's been expanded to an 11-year window, and instead of paying at the incumbent's rate, they would pay at the municipal rate. So once again, in other words, if for those customers who are in the annexed area at the date of annexation, they would be required to pay for 7 years. If somebody moves in year eight, they only be required to pay for 3 years and nine for 2 years and so on. So it addresses only that portion of the compensation formula. We enjoyed the opportunity to work with the other utilities over the summer to come to this agreement. It's an agreement that satisfies our concerns, the concerns that were the genesis for Senate Bill 151 last year. And today we would ask your support of House Bill 1263. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Seeing no more proponents, are there any opponents to 1263? Seeing no opponents, I'll open it to the committee for questions. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, I will open it to action or comments. Do I hear a
do pass?
Move do pass. Second by Senator Gantt. Second by Senator Miles. Are there any comments, Senator Miles?
Well, again, I appreciate the negotiation, the partnership of bringing it together. Sounds like. come to a compromise, and it'll be better, best for everybody involved. So appreciate that. Thank you.
I would have one. It looks complicated to me, but I guess it's relatively simple. But I agree with Senator Miles. If you've had this much negotiation, it must have came out in, because we have no opponents, it must have came out for the good of the people. Senator Teason?
Well, I clicked back to see, since the House was so stern last year, I went back to see how the House handled it this year, and it was passed unanimously in the House, and that seems to be somewhat of a miracle in itself. So if the House is satisfied, how can the Senate not be satisfied?
Thank you, but sometimes we aren't satisfied with what the House does. But this time I think we probably are. With that, I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll. And,
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Teason,
aye.
Bradford,
aye.
Gant,
aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 5 ayes.
With that, I'm going to pass the gavel back to Senator Gant. Oh, you moved consent?
Yes.
Oh, my. Who seconded that?
Second.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor of consent, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Been so moved. Go to the floor, consent. That I'll let Senator Gant. Do we have...
Thank you.
Is people for 1211 here? Because we're...
You want to go look for Senator Nelson or Representative Kirkby or Turberville? Okay. 2-4.
You have to go too, huh, Senator?
Yeah. I'm going to have to run shortly again, but...
Senator Gant has to leave, too.
Do you have his cell phone? I don't know if he's in my... Nelson, Tom. All I have is email.
Boy, everybody.
Hey, Tom, it's Jason Gant. We're ready for you over in the park. Must be in recess for cell phone.
Should I go over there?
Go look for Senator Nelson.
Okay.
Well, you could do it, Senator Lyon. You're on the bill. She's on the bill. And I'm going to attempt to amend it. And I also think
yeah. Do you have? Yes.
This is our last meeting of the committee. Everyone's bailing already, but we want to give a big thanks to Josh and Tom for all their help during the session. And big thanks to Senator Gillespie and Senator Miles for putting this together for us. Yes, very much. We appreciate all of it. Yes, thank you. The other issue we have before us, which we might as well get out of the way, is our interim study ideas. Did no one brought anything to me, anything to you, Tom, or Josh?
And you can bring them individually, fill out the form, and bring it to our office, too, if it's not a committee.
I don't know. We had... No. No, and I didn't notice that we had any bills that seemed to where we needed more of a summer study type idea or even just a committee pushing them in the right direction. So, which is a good sign that we're not having any major issues. So, well, we'll be at ease for a little bit longer. Well, we will come back to order, and we will bring up House Bill 1211, an act to revise the time frame and requirements for certain alcoholic beverage licenses to provide on-sale service of alcoholic beverages on Sunday. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Nelson, Senator, District 31, from Lead and Lawrence County. This is a liquor bill, but it only has to do with revising the time that liquor can be served on Sundays. It is entirely permissive and maintains local control. Right now, Sunday is treated differently than other days of the week, as it should be, but most all jurisdictions, you cannot have a drink between the hours of 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday. You can have beer. This basically creates a little bit of a concern, particularly in a place like Deadwood, which every day is Saturday. People come to Deadwood for the recreation, for the entertainment. Very often we have slot tournaments at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, or blackjack or poker tournaments, and it only seems reasonable to allow them to imbibe if that is their choice. Why this oddity is in the law, nobody really knows for sure. May have something to do with the Sunday Blue laws of years ago, or another theory, it had to do with the 3-2 beer that we had years ago, and apparently the theory was you could sit for 4 hours and drink 3-2 beer and not become intoxicated. But regardless of what that is, the provisions of this bill does not change the fact that the local municipality or county still has governance over whether that can be allowed or not. If you approve this bill, some of the things that will not change, you will still have to get city and county approval, as I said, to sell alcoholic beverages on Sunday. There will still be local control, but we are only talking about the clock, a four-hour difference in the week. This bill does not increase or decrease the number of liquor licenses, nor will it change the fees. Again, we are only talking about the clock. This bill is not an attempt to promote the consumption of alcoholic beverages because it always already approved in existing statute. Again, it's about 4 hours on Sunday morning. This bill only revises the time and clear up some time confusion for Sunday alcohol sales, which are confusing, hard to enforce, and it simply makes it more uniform throughout the state. And once again, I emphasize there's no expansion of liquor licenses. It is entirely local control, and I encourage your support of this bill, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1211? Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1211? Any opponents to House Bill 1211? Seeing none, we will close public testimony and open it up to committee questions and or action. Chair would entertain a do pass motion. Is there a second? We We have a motion by Senator Miles, a second by Senator Bradford, due pass on House Bill 1211. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Pazin, Bradford,
aye.
Gant,
aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 4 yeas.
Motion carries. I think we can talk about it on the floor.
Thank you,
sir.
And thank you for your patience.
Appreciate it. Do we have anything else we need to do before we close for the year? We approved our minutes. We've done everything. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone. It's been a good year. We haven't had a ton of bills, but we've been pretty quick and efficient. So with that, for the last time, I'll entertain a adjourn motion. Senator Miles, I'm sorry.
Can I have a comment?
Yes, Senator Miles.
Yes, I want to thank the chair and the vice chair for keeping things moving. Haven't had a lot of bills, but done it in an orderly fashion. People coming and going, I know that's a challenge sometimes. But, yeah, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
I would like to thank everybody for helping me along when I did have to chair, and especially the chairman for allowing me to chair. I really appreciated the committee because they handled my mistakes. I do appreciate it. Ken, 9 years in here, and this is the first time I ever had to do this. So it's kind of a new experience. I want to thank you all.
Yes, you did, Senator. You did a very good job, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir. Yeah, so with all that fun, let's adjourn. Someone move it. Moved by Senator Miles, second by Senator Schmidt. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.
Call the House Local Government Committee to order. And have a secretary.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek.
Here.
Miles.
Here.
Schmidt. Pazin.
Here.
Bradford.
Here.
Mr. Chair, there is a quorum.
All righty.
I will do the minutes first.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Approve the minutes. And all those in favor say aye, and those opposed, nay.
Aye.
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 Minutes are approved. Maybe I'll introduce the pages first. Could you introduce yourself?
I'm Alyssa Van Meteren from Yankton, and Gene Hunup is my sponsor.
Okay.
I'm Kay McConda from Sisseton, and Gary Hansen.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go to the first order of business, and I've been asked to move 1211 to the bottom of the calendar. And I see we have a person here for 12. Next is 12, what?
Wait, no. You're missing somebody.
Sorry.
1036
is here. 1036 is there. Okay, we'll take 10. Is there any proponents for 1036? Excuse me.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Eric Erickson, representing the South Dakota County Officials Association. Come before you this morning with House Bill 1036. The language in this is identical to Senate Bill 159, which this committee passed last week unanimously. We had started this bill in both houses. Senate Bill 159 is now over in the House, and they're going to use that for a different subject. So we'd appreciate your support on this. And as a quick overview, what this does is House Bill 1035 passed earlier this session at the request of the Secretary of State, dealing with the redaction of Social Security numbers and EIN numbers off of UCC documents. In the Secretary of State's office, it works out great because you call them up, you request a document, and if you didn't already have that information, they'd send it out to you with that information redacted. In our offices, it's a little bit different as it's open as a public depository of records. It's more like a library. So in order for us to comply with House Bill 1035, we would have had to go back, redact all of this information off of all of our prior records, including microfilm and other methods, at a very costly response. So we ask that you please support House Bill 1035. We ask that you please support it, and I'll stand by for any questions.
1036.
Okay. I'll get it straight here sometime.
Oh, that's all right. You and I are both suffering. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other proponents for 1036? Are there any opponents to 1036? Can we not drag this on? No. I'll open it to questions from the panel. If no questions, how about some action? Senator Kocher.
Move, do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Yes, move, do pass, and seconded. Senator Teason. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And I'll ask the Secretary to call a roll.
Senator Gillespie, Klocek.
Aye.
Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt.
That's
right. You voted
yes last time.
Yes.
Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant. Mr. Chair, there were five yeas.
Mr. Chair.
Hey, the House Bill 1036 go to the floor. Do pass. Move consent. Seconded by Senator Teason. All those in favor of putting the bill on consent, say aye.
Aye.
It's now on consent, folks. All righty, we'll move on to, is it, next was 1253. Are there any proponents for 1253?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Hey.
Members of the committee, Deb Bowman, Secretary of the Department of Social Services, and we bring before you today House Bill 1253. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding administration of the Catastrophic County Poor Relief Fund. Counties are responsible by our state statute to pay the health care expenses for indigent people with no other means of paying for their health care. The Catastrophic County Poor Relief Fund pays participating counties for health care claims of indigent people over $20,000. Participation by our counties is strictly voluntary, and currently we have 60 counties participating. The fund was originally started with $500,000 in general funds, but has been replenished every year through an assessment of participating counties since 1985. So now the general fund's money is long gone, and this is really county money. The fund has been administered jointly by the Department of Social Services and the Catastrophic County Poor Relief Board, which consists of five county commissioners appointed by the Association of County Commissioners. House Bill 1253 transfers the administration of the Catastrophic County Poor Relief Fund from my department to the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners, who are in full support of this effort. My deputy just went to get Bob Wilcox, who will be here to support this bill as well. This results in a reduction of one FTE from our department budget, and the fund balance will be transferred to the Association of County Commissioners. So all the money will be theirs to be able to administer the program. The Department of Social Services, since this decision was made, has worked closely with the Association of County Commissioners. They have agreed that they can administer this program. There's usually about 30 claims a year, so it's not a huge amount. The Department of Social Services has committed to continuing to reprice the claims at a Medicaid level so that the county counties are taking advantage of that. We'll continue to assist the counties with whatever they need. We will work closely with them during this transition. We have all the forms and documents necessary. They will all be transferred to the County Commission Association, and so we would urge your support of 1253, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for 1253?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. Thank you for waiting for me. I was over in another state affairs. As Secretary Bowman has indicated, this has been a process that we started approximately right after, shortly after Thanksgiving, and it's evolved into what I would like to describe as somewhat as a partnership. We are certainly willing to take this program over. One of the questions that was asked of me earlier, do we have spending authority? And if you refer to Section 1, Line 8 of the bill, it actually, what it allows us to do is use funds from the pool to help it defray the administration costs of the programs. And finally, we've worked hand in hand with our local welfare directors, which many of them are county auditors, keeping them abreast of the upcoming change. And we would certainly appreciate your support on this piece of legislation. Thank you very much, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for 1253? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Could you check the hallway? Thank you. I'll open it to questions of the committee. Is there any question?
I do.
Senator Smith.
Mr. Wilcox, can I ask you a question, please? If you could answer this, I would, Mr. If you could answer this, I'd appreciate it, but if you don't want to. It says catastrophic. Just let me share this in humor. I received a bill from my insurance company, and it was catastrophic. So I called my agent, and he said, well, the reason it's so high is because some of this goes to paying for those who can't pay. Is that true?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would rather not answer that question because I'm not quite sure I would have the correct knowledge. But on a side note, if I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Certainly, I'd share some of the pain, as you well do, because I've certainly seen some of those catastrophic bills as well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Is there anybody else who would want to answer this? I see none. Are there any other questions? If not, I'll open it to comments and or action. Senator Teasen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this sounds to me like efficiency and reduction of bureaucracy, and I support both, so I'll move to pass.
Second by Senator Miles. Okay, have the comments?
Please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to give the Secretary of Social Service kudos in getting people on board. It does sound like a win-win situation for everybody based on an efficient process, like Senator Teasen said. It seems like a smooth transition for people, so they're not adversely affected with sharing documents, resources, that type of thing. So I think that's a good move, and where the counties are right on board. So I appreciate that collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? If not, we will take action. Secretary will call the roll. Aye is for and nay is against.
Senator Gillespie?
Yes.
Klocek?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Teasen?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
And Gillespie.
Sorry, I heard guh. Gillespie votes aye.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, there are six yeas.
Send that bill to the floor. We can do pass. Okay, it's been moved consent and second. Is there a... I'll take a vote aye or all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carried. We'll go to the floor on consent. Okay, we'll move on now to I believe 1263. Is that okay? And then we better tell 1263. Is there any proponents here? Please. This is a straight bill. This bill hasn't been...
Good morning, Mr.
Well,
Chair.
Representative?
Members of the committee, I'm Brian Gosch, Representative District 32. Well, this is a pleasure for me to introduce this bill because the parties involved here worked hard over the summer and came to a compromise agreement that, of course, everybody agrees with. It was an agreement between the co-ops, the municipal electrical organizations, and the member-owned. The bill is a... fairly simple and straightforward and speaks for itself. And with that introduction, I'll turn it over to other proponents. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Ed Anderson. I'm a registered lobbyist with the South Dakota Rural Electric Association. In the early 1970s, the South Dakota legislature created defined service territories for all the utilities operating in the state. In the state, including the municipal electrics, the electric cooperatives, and the investor-owned utilities. And then in the mid-70s, they came back and created an exception to those service territories for municipal electric systems in annexations. And what they allowed the municipals to do is, in a municipal annexation, they could, if they chose to, allow the incumbent utility to continue to serve the area that they annexed, or they could displace the incumbent utility and provide municipal electric service to the people in the annexed area. That compromise, or exception, also created the current day formula that is in place. Anytime that a municipal electric system chooses to displace the incumbent utility, they are required to compensate that utility under a three-part formula. First, they're required to pay for all the wires and the poles and other fixed assets that are removed. Second, they are required to pay for any reintegration costs involved. If you take a chunk out of any utility, you got to fix it, and they're required to pay for those costs. And finally, there is a compensation formula for lost service rights. Under current law, they are required to pay 25% of the gross revenues for 7 years for every existing and new customer in the annexed area within a 7-year window. So in other words, any customer that was in the annexed area on the date that they take over or the date that they annex, they will pay for 7 years. If somebody moves in year 5, they're only going to pay for 2 years because it's a maximum of 7 years for any given customer. Last year, the rural electric cooperatives brought in a bill that would have adjusted the compensation formula because of concerns that we had, some of our members had, with bare ground annexations. That bill passed the Senate, and I know some of you here remember that, made it over to the House and was ultimately tabled in the House Local Government Committee, not before that committee took the opportunity to let us know that they did not want to see that issue brought back before them again or before the legislature unless it was a joint agreement. So they sent us away with some pretty stern instructions to figure this out on our own, and which we got to work immediately with all of the utilities involved. We had a series of meetings that lasted throughout the summer into the fall, and the result of those meetings is the negotiated agreement that is before you today in House Bill 1263. 1263 addresses one part of that three-part formula, and it is the lost service rights portion of the formula. Under the proposal in 1263, the municipal electric systems that choose to displace and are required to compensate would continue to pay 25% of the gross revenues for 7 years, but instead of a 7-year window, it's been expanded to an 11-year window, and instead of paying at the incumbent's rate, they would pay at the municipal rate. So once again, in other words, if for those customers who are in the annexed area at the date of annexation, they would be required to pay for 7 years. If somebody moves in year 8, they're only be required to pay for 3 years, and 9 for 2 years, and so on. So it addresses only that portion of the compensation formula. We enjoyed the opportunity to work with the other utilities over the summer to come to this agreement. It's an agreement that satisfies our concerns, the concerns that were the genesis for Senate Bill 151 last year. And today we would ask your support of House Bill 1263. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Seeing no more proponents, are there any opponents to 1263? Seeing no opponents, I'll open it to the committee for questions. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, I will open it to action or comments. Do I hear a move do pass? Second by Senator Gantt, second by Senator Miles. Are there any comments? Senator Miles.
Well, again, I appreciate the negotiation, the partnership of bringing it together. Sounds like come to a compromise, and it'll be best for everybody involved. So appreciate that. Thank you.
I would have one. It looks complicated to me, but I guess it's relatively simple. But I agree with Senator Miles. If you had this much negotiation, it must have came out in. Because we have no opponents, it must have came out for the good of the people. Senator Teason.
Well, I clicked back to see, since the House was so stern last year, I went back to see how the House handled it this year, and it was passed unanimously in the House, and that seems to be somewhat of a miracle in itself. So if the House is satisfied, how can the Senate not be satisfied?
Thank you, but sometimes we aren't satisfied with what the House does. But this time, I think we probably are. With that, I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll. And
Senator Gillespie, Klocek, Miles,
aye.
Schmidt,
aye.
Teason,
aye.
Bradford,
aye.
Gantt,
aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 5 ayes.
With that, I'm going to pass the gavel back to Senator Gantt. Oh, you moved consent?
Yes.
Oh, my. Who seconded that?
Second.
Second, yeah. Okay. All those in favor of consent, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Been so moved. Go to the floor, consent. That I'll let Senator Gantt. Do we have
thank you.
Is people for 1211 here? Because we're.
You want to go look for Senator Nelson or Representative Kirkaby or Turberville? Okay. 2-4.
You have to go too, huh, Senator?
Yeah. I'm going to have to run shortly again, but...
Senator Gant has to leave, too.
Do you have his cell phone? I don't know if he's in my... Nelson Tom. All I have is email.
Boy, everybody's got...
Hey, Tom, it's Jason Gant. We're ready for you over at North Park. Must be in recess for cell phone.
Should I go over there?
Go look for Senator Gant.
Okay.
Well, you could do it, Senator Gant. You're on the bill. She's on the bill. And I'm going to attempt to amend it. And I also think...
Yeah.
So...
Do you have?
Yes. This is our last meeting of the committee. Everyone's bailing already, but we want to give a big thanks to Josh and Tom for all their help during the session. And big thanks to Senator Gillespie and Senator Miles for putting this together for us. Yes, very much. We appreciate all of it. Yes, thank you. The other issue we have before us, which we might as well get out of the way, is our interim study ideas. Did no one brought anything to me, anything to you, Tom, or
no,
Josh?
And you can bring them individually, fill out the form, and bring it to our office, too, if it's not a committee.
I don't know. We had no. No, and I didn't notice that we had any bills that seemed to where we needed more of a summer study type idea, or even just a committee pushing them in the right direction. So, which is a good sign that we're not having any major issues. So. Well, we'll be at ease for a little bit longer.